Good morning. I'm Pat with North Coast Food Web. With me, with Marianne today, we are with North Coast Food Web working to build healthy communities in our region through food and agriculture. And as part of that effort, we just completed a feast event, Food Education Agriculture Solutions Together. Marianne, I know you had a really big part in that event. What would you like to say about that?
I am really grateful to most especially Sharon Thornberry and Tracy Gagnon from Oregon Food Bank. It was a collaborative event between North Coast Food Web and Oregon Food Bank, and they are brilliant. Sharon is actually the inventor of Feast and now travels all around the country moderating those events and helping communities figure out how to improve their community food systems. So, and then thank you to everybody who came, because people from all every kind of avenue that has a piece of the community food system was there, and we had really wonderful, productive work sessions and a great panel, and it was a worthy investment of a Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
And so, outcomes from this, what might we look forward to?
Well, we broke out into work groups on specific topics that were identified in the course of the morning, such as food in schools and support of local producers and those sorts of concerns that were identified. And then we broke out into work groups, and those groups have now some tasks to perform.
Great.
Toward the accomplishment of identified goals. And they will be, we will all come back together after the first of the year to check in and see where we are. So at some point over the next 3-4 months, we're going to have some results to report to everybody about how, you know, the object was to make sure that, to identify holes in the food system. Mm-hmm. And to figure out what everybody is doing specifically. And if there are 3 or 4 of us all doing the same thing, then maybe let's figure out who's doing it best and let them do it. And so it's about efficiencies and accomplishments. And we will shortly, after the last feast, which was 5 or 6 years ago, North Coast Food Web was born. And we had our task list, and we have checked off everything on that. And those are all in progress, ongoing projects, but we're looking forward to what our next piece is. So we'll be reporting back.
Great. Wonderful. So lots of good work to continue as a result of that event. But today we're going to talk about some seasonal food. You know, I was pulling recipes, going through my file and thinking about what did I want to talk about today. I started thinking holidays, of course, because they are rapidly coming upon us. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, I do the real basic traditional. I don't know that I have a lot of holiday type things, with the exception of around Christmas time when I make marshmallows. And I almost brought that recipe. But I decided to do something a little bit different today. So I brought both a sweet and a savory because I thought I'd see what mood I was in. But I think I'm going to go with the sweet. And I'm not a huge baker. I don't bake a lot. But there are certain really simple recipes that I just love. And this is one of those. It's a rustic jam shortbread tart.
Holy cow. I like it already.
It is. I mean, I write shortbread.
Yeah. Right.
And jam.
And jam.
Hard to go wrong with that combination. And this is one of those things that's what I love about it. It's really simple to come together. It looks great. You just want to have a slice of this. Hard to wait for it to cool. So get your pencils ready, and I'm going to share a rustic jam shortbread tart recipe that's a takeoff on a recipe from The Splendid Table, which is a lovely talk about food kind of radio program. So, rustic jam shortbread tart. You're going to preheat your oven to 400 degrees and butter a tart pan. And then in your food processor, you're going to grind the zest of half a lemon with a fourth of a cup of whole almonds. And then you're going to add in 3/4 of a cup of all-purpose flour, 1/4 of a cup of sugar, 1 pinch of salt, 6 tablespoons of cold, preferably unsalted butter, 1 large egg yolk, and 1/2 teaspoon of almond extract. And I have to tell you, when I made this the first couple times, I didn't have any almond extract in the cupboard, but I did have lemon, so I used that. There's zest of lemon in there anyhow, so if you don't have almond, don't worry about it. Lemon will work just fine. So combine those, pulse them a few times in your food processor till it starts to combine, and you'll see small clumps as the dough is coming together, but you're not trying to make it all come together there. You just want some nice small clumps. You're going to dump it out. I think that's a key to recipes that I like, when they say just dump it into a pan. I really like those directions. I'm not sure what that is. So dump it into your tart pan. And using your fingers, you're just going to pat it into a crust, moving that crust up the sides and shaping it all in there nicely. If you've got one of those little handy-dandy tart tampers, now's a great time to use it. I don't have those sort of single-purpose tools.
A quarter cup measuring cup, use it as a press, is very...
They work beautifully.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, why buy something that you use for one thing when you can grab something that you surely have in your cupboard and just use that to... You know, to really pretty firmly pack that crust down in there. And then you're going to bake that for about 12 to 15 minutes, just till the edges are nice and golden. You're going to take that out of the oven, crank that temperature up to about 500 degrees. And then you're going to spread 3/4 of a cup of jam, whatever kind of jam you want to use.
What do you like?
I use blueberry lemon, again, going on that lemon theme, and partly because that's what I had in the cupboard when I made this before. I've also made it with black cap, with marionberry, and I think I did one with cranberry vanilla. So really, whatever kind of jam, you just want a really nice, beautiful flavored jam in this. Don't use one of those things that all you taste is sugar, and you really want a nice... fruit flavor in the jam. Cherry works beautiful with this, especially if you've used almond extract in the crust. So you're going to spread that 3/4 cup of jam over that tart crust and pop it back in the oven and bake for another 5 to 10 minutes.
At 500?
Yeah.
Wowie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until the jam is bubbly. I think my oven... I think I topped out at about 450. So if you're somewhere in that range, because that's some really seriously high heat, but you're just looking for that jam to be bubbly. You don't want that crust around the edges to burn. You take that out and serve it at room temperature. It is absolutely delicious and so simple. And this is one of those desserts that will find its way on my breakfast table the next morning.
Yum.
Because it is delicious with a cup of coffee in the morning.
I bet. And I'm thinking that you, if you didn't have a tart pan, you could probably use a pie pan, could you?
Yeah, I would absolutely use a pie pan. You could even use a pizza pan if you wanted to make kind of a bigger, maybe a little bit flatter. So don't feel like you can't make a recipe because you don't have a particular piece of equipment or the right size pan. Improvise with it, play around. It's just going to look a little bit different, and that's going to be totally fine because you're still going to have beautiful shortbread crust with some gorgeous jam spread over the top of it, and that's what this thing is all about. And it is so A, easy, B, delicious. Just love it.
Yum.
So what?
Why do we come to a recipe show not having eaten breakfast?
I know,
this is just
serious
cruel.
Mistake, right? Lest you think we're passing around slices of rustic jam shortbread tart this morning, we are not.
Oh, we are not. I also just brought a seasonal kind of wintry sort of thing. I think anything that is casserole or soup oriented or braised, any of that slow cook, warm up the house, smell real good stuff is easily perfect for the holidays, but also just any old time. And so I brought my version of Ina Garten's potato fennel gratin.
I love Ina.
I do too.
She's
and
great.
Her recipes, you know, when we buy cookbooks, sometimes they don't turn out the way we expect them to, but there are certain cookbook authors that you can just trust that the very first time you make it, it's going to be right because they have tested it a million times.
Yep. And she's one of them.
And yeah, that's right. So anyway, I have changed just a small amount of things on this, so I will let you know as we go along what I've changed. But you need to start with two small to medium bulbs of fennel. And one onion. She's very specific. She specifies a yellow onion. Lately, my allegiance to onions varies. And lately, I am just crazy about white onions, Spanish onions. I like them for pretty much everything, except for I do tend to go for sweet onions when we're talking bagel and lox. But for everything else, I've been using white onions. The onion of your choice, you need one, a couple of tablespoons of olive oil. She uses unsalted butter, one tablespoon. I don't ever have unsalted butter in the fridge because, frankly, I'm just not qualified to keep track of two kinds of butter.
And seriously, so, right, for most people, that doesn't make a huge difference in your baking.
And I just, you know, everything that calls for unsalted butter calls for salt.
Yes.
So you can just adjust that and not have to... I'm in awe of and filled with admiration for folks who have two kinds of butter, but I ain't one of them. So
whatever you got,
I'm going to use a tablespoon of butter. And then you need a couple pounds of potatoes. She uses russet potatoes. I really like the golden waxy potatoes for this, but it's up to you how whatever kind of potato you would like to use. And then... a couple of cups of heavy cream. And there ain't no substitute for heavy cream, so I'm sticking with that. And then 2.5 cups of Gruyere cheese, and you could use Emmentaler, you could use Swiss, you could, you know, make yourself happy with that. I have used the extra sharp white cheddar in this before, and it's a little assertive, I think, for this particular recipe. Fennel is... graceful, and you can easily overwhelm it by something really in industrial strength. So I really do like the Swiss type cheeses, and so I have substituted different kinds of things for the Gruyere, but I wouldn't recommend like pepper jack. No. Then she calls for a teaspoon of salt. I usually use a half teaspoon of salt because I'm using salted butter, and then a half teaspoon of black pepper. And so preheat your oven to 350 degrees. And this is going to go into a baking dish 10 by 15 by 2 or any shape of baking dish that holds about 10 cups. And I have done this in a variety of shapes and made in a smaller dish that's deeper. It just takes a little longer to bake. So whatever you have that will hold about 10 cups is perfectly fine. You're going to take the stalks off the fennel, cut the bulbs in half lengthwise, and take out the little cores, and then slice them. And I would recommend I kind of like them sliced thin, but you're going to slice the tomatoes and the fennel about the same thickness. So however you like it.
Potatoes.
Did I say tomatoes? Yum, they'd probably be good in here.
They would be good in
scalloped
there.
Scalloped tomatoes, yum.
Delicious.
So you're going to slice the fennel and the potatoes in similar thicknesses so that everything's going to cook at the same time. And then we're going to saute both the onions and the fennel in the olive oil and butter for about 15 minutes. You're basically just getting them to start softening. You don't want them to brown. Just want them to sweat.
So turn that heat down a little bit.
Yep. And stir periodically so that nothing's sitting on the bottom of the skillet for too long. And at that point, you will begin to be so happy because it smells so good. At that point, you could dump those right into a bowl, put them on the table. You got a side dish, sauteed onions and fennel. Fabulous. So you've sautéed your sliced onions and fennel, and then we're going to peel and slice the potatoes. And you dump the potatoes in a large bowl. There's the dumping thing.
Yay!
Dump them in a large bowl. And add the 2 cups of cream, the 2 cups of Gruyere. You've started with 2.5 cups of cheese, but you're going to put 2 of them in the bowl with the potatoes and reserve the 1/2 cup to sprinkle on top. So we have added in a big bowl the potatoes, 2 cups of cream, 2 cups of cheese, and the salt and pepper, and the sautéed fennel and onions, and just stir it all up. And the thing I love about one of the many things besides this is a fabulous recipe is that I grew up doing scalloped potatoes where you layered everything carefully in the bowl. This is like dump it in a bowl, stir it up, dump it in a pan.
Nice.
I love it. And it comes out equally delicious. Who knew? It
does not affect the taste at all.
So anyway, you're going to pour it into your baking dish and kind of smoosh it down so it's smooth. But don't worry if it isn't perfectly layered. And then you're going to take the remaining 2 tablespoons of cream because you have used, I'm sorry, in the beginning I just told you 2 cups of heavy cream, but it's 2 cups plus 2 tablespoons. And so that 2 tablespoons is going to get combined with your reserved 1/2 cup of cheese, and that's all going to get sprinkled on top, and it's going to bake for approximately 1.5 hours, although it depends on how thin or thick your veg has been sliced. So I usually set the timer for 1 hour, and then I poke it with a fork, and if it's done, it's done, and if it isn't, I give it 10-minute increments. But the top will get all brown and bubbly, and you need to let it sit for about 10 minutes after you take it out of the oven. The potatoes will soak up all of that sauce, and it'll be really easy to serve and not run all over the plate. And it really is just truly delicious. I've also baked this with like a layer of ham on the bottom of the baking dish. The standard scalloped potatoes and ham, but with fennel. Very, very
nice.
Good. Yeah.
That sounds absolutely delicious. And I do want to say something about food memories. You triggered one for me when you were talking about the recipe and you said tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the scalloped tomato thing. That's like, I grew up in Michigan, and that is such a Midwestern thing.
So good.
Scalloped tomatoes. And my mom, she will tell stories about how she had to increasingly make these in bigger and bigger size casserole dishes because we just loved it so much. And for me, it is absolute comfort food. And the way my mom made it, this really simple, it's she always canned lots of tomatoes. So we always had beautiful canned tomatoes in the house. So she would open up a quart jar of tomatoes or 2 quarts, depending on how much we needed to make. And you basically mix it with cubed up bread, you know, day old, whatever kind of bread, you know, nice, not that squishy, squishy stuff. We've talked about that before, but good bread. Mix it in with some salt and pepper and butter. And again, dump it into a casserole dish and bake it. And it just that's a very, very simple version of it. But that's what I grew up with. And I just love it when food memories like that get triggered.
So good.
I know. Now I think I might have to go home and make some scalloped tomatoes.
You know, I grew up with scalloped onions.
Oh.
And that was a can't have Thanksgiving without it sort of dish with the garlic bread crumbs on top baked until
nice.
They were. And that's just a bechamel white sauce with my grandmother was obviously now I realize totally masochistic because she would use the little tiny onions and peel them. And so then I graduated to the little frozen whole onions. And now I just use sliced onions and make scalloped onions every once in a while out of sheer longing.
I love those. Some of those old standby dishes that we grew up with. There's just something so comforting in being able to taste that food. And
you know, often, most often, it's very inexpensive to make. It is staple food with things you have around and not expensive things. We're not talking about lamb or, you know, heavy cuts of meat. We're talking about just great, healthy, delicious, cheap food.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely delicious. So I have another recipe here that I just wanted to talk about just for a quick second. And then we also want to talk a little bit about some really fantastic cooking classes coming up. So this other recipe that I brought is a wild mushroom and blue cheese bread pudding.
Oh, man.
Which is so, I love, you know, obviously bread pudding, great for dessert, but I love, love, love savory bread puddings. So I'm just going to throw this out there and remind you that these recipes will be up on North Coast Food Web website so that you can copy them and cook away to your pleasure. But this is a really beautiful savory take on mushrooms. And this recipe comes from a chef friend of mine in Portland, Catherine LaSousa Yeomans. Shout out to Catherine. Farmer's Feast. So you start with 1/2 cup of chopped onions and 1/2 cup of assorted mushrooms. And this is one of those beautiful recipes. Whatever mushrooms are in season, whatever
you have
works.
And right now,
yeah,
we have so many wild mushrooms.
Beautiful mushrooms. So perfect time to make this. A tablespoon of butter. 1 cup of whole milk or cream, or you could use 1/2 and 1/2 if you wanted to. A tablespoon of chopped fresh thyme, 1/2 teaspoon of chopped fresh rosemary, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 pinch of black pepper, 2 cups of cubed bread, and 1/2 cup of crumbled blue cheese. So preheat your oven to 300. You're going to saute the onions and mushrooms in butter until the onions are soft. Just a reminder, don't salt when you're doing this because salt is going to pull moisture really quickly out of those onions and mushrooms and they're going to kind of stew in that juice. Just let them sit there and saute a little bit. Stir them occasionally so that you're not scorching or browning. Then you're going to whisk together the eggs and milk, add in the herbs, salt and pepper and the bread, stir it up. You want that mixture to be moist with a little bit of excess liquid that's not absorbed by the bread. Then stir in that blue cheese and the mushroom mixture. Let it stand for about 30 minutes so everything just gets kind of all soaked and all yummy delicious together. And then you can do this in individual ramekins, so 6 if you're using those, or you can do it in a small baking dish. So whatever works for you, it's just going to change the baking time. So if you're doing ramekins, you're going to fill each of those with the bread mixture. You're going to bake it in a water bath, so a baking dish with boiling water in it and your ramekins in there. For about 30 to 45 minutes or until just set, you know, and that's an approximation on the time. That's quite a time difference. So check them at 30, remove them from the oven, serve them warm, and they are so incredibly delicious. And I was thinking about that, you know, that's a fun take. You could do more of a Thanksgiving themed with a little sage in there and kind of make it more, almost like stuffing cups, but this wild mushroom and blue cheese bread pudding is one of those recipes that I go back to. Again, it's just a really beautiful side dish for whatever else, or you could just have it with
it's an entree with
greens. It would be just gorgeous. So we do want to mention some wonderful classes that are coming up. So we've got some soup things going on.
We're making soup because, you know, it's
time.
It's time. So starting next Monday in the evening, starting at 6 o'clock, the classes are from 6 to 8:30, and that last half hour we're eating together. We're going to be making soup, and I think that next week we're going to be making some clam chowder. Nice. And for those of you who have been around for a long time and have enjoyed eating out, this is the North Star Restaurant and Lounge clam chowder. Please join us. I think we're also doing some pumpkin pear soup.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, really good. With a little lime sour cream drizzled over the top.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And then we will, these are soup classes, but because we're going to sit down and eat together, we'll throw together some greens and some nice vinaigrette and sit down and visit. So anyway, 3 Mondays in a row from 6 to 8:30. You don't have to come to all of them, but you should log on to northcoastfoodweb.org. And click on the calendar or the cooking class button, either one, and check out what's cooking on any given week so that you can decide that's the one you really want to do. You can register right online, and I hope to see you there. It's my pleasure to be teaching the soup classes, and I look forward to eating soup with all of you. But I do want to say, just generally speaking about the cooking classes, now that we're up and running, Pat, they have been so much fun.
They have been indeed.
And there are only, you know, we top out at about 10 or 12. So we are all cooking together and getting acquainted and sharing a meal. And it just could not be more perfect.
Yeah. I just think about soup night as a really wonderful way to bring people together. And if you are a little bit intimidated by soup, or you just want to learn some new techniques in making soup, or you just want a fun way to be out and about and meet some new people and then get to sit down and share a delicious meal together, these soup
is
classes are
life
great.
Affirming
yeah.
food.
Yeah.
You know, the Food Web's going to be doing soups for the warming center this season because we all need soup.
That is, that just warms my heart.
Well, it's soup.
Hopefully we'll warm those people's hearts.
That's what
too.
It's for.
Oh, that's so great.
So come make soup with us, please.
Soup classes coming up 6 to 8:30. November 23rd, sorry, is the next one. Also on the calendar is Healthy Holidays.
Yay.
So for those of you that are interested perhaps in more healthier versions of some of the things that we talked about this morning, some healthy tips and ideas for ways to pull together a great holiday dinner, that's coming up on December 5th.
And that is a vegetarian Thanksgiving
feast.
Wonderful. So there are lots of folks in the community who would love to do that sort of thing. And because enrollment is limited and because this is such a singular opportunity, and this is being taught by Wendy D'Agostino, who is our cooking class coordinator and has taught this particular class many times. So
wonderful.
We are very lucky about that. And boy, is that going to be a delicious meal at the end of the class.
And that's what I love about that. It's a full meal. It's not going to feel like, oh, I just threw together a few things to appease some vegetarians, but really a full, beautiful, delicious holiday meal. That's December 5th from 10 to 2. So you have a chance to practice all those recipes, taste them, see what you want to add to your repertoire, or perhaps you want to recreate that entire meal. And then also coming up in December is Easy Appetizers. That's always a fun one as you're getting ready to go into holiday party season.
Yeah.
That one is December 9th at 6 o'clock.
All right.
So some wonderful.
And there are many, many more on the calendar. So by all means, it is my personal quest to make sure that before I'm dead and gone, I have cooked something and eaten it with every single one of you out there. Really, there is no better way to get acquainted and develop an appreciation for each other than cooking and eating together. So please join us and keep your eye on that calendar, because Wendy's a mad woman and she's adding stuff like crazy. And I have also gotten commitments from 3 fabulous local chefs just over this last weekend. So there will be classes coming up with names that you recognize and that you just want to share a kitchen with for a few hours. So keep your eye on that calendar. I'm saying put it, check in once a week with that cooking class calendar, because you don't want to miss out. It is 10 o'clock. We got to fly. Pat,
thanks for joining
lovely.
Us today. It's been fun, and happy cooking.
Yes, happy holidays. It is 10 o'clock and some change. You're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming live at coastradio.org and on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. Stay tuned for NPR News headlines coming up in a few seconds, and then John Stevenson in the house with, your favorite music.